We turn to the scriptures now for our instruction. The book of Acts, the chapter 26. We read from the verse 1 through to the verse 32. This is the word of God. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things which whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to grant his blessing upon that public reading of his most precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, and may he do so all to the glory of his holy name and to the everlasting good of our poor and never dying souls. Well, dear congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to those words which I read to you in your hearing just a few minutes ago from the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, the chapter 26, and the Lord be pleased to graciously enable me this morning to preach his word to you, to address you, and particularly from the verses 22 to the verse 23. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now I seek, as is my custom this time of the year, on the last Lord's Day Sabbath of the year, to bring you something from the Word of God appropriate for this season as we look back on a year that is past, and we thank the Lord for all that is past, and we look to him for that year that is dawning upon us. In just a few days, we shall embark upon the uncharted waters of a new year. We know not what a day may bring forth, but we serve an unchanging God. God who says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. God who says, I am the Lord that changeth not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, be not consumed. And so it is the first part of the verse 22 that I wish to take for my text this morning. The words of the Apostle Paul, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now I find that these are very appropriate words, are they not, as we look upon a new year, as we think upon all that perhaps is yet to come. Now maybe we have faced a year of many trials and many tribulations and many onslaughts even from Satan himself. But we can say with the psalmist, My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our Lord is a very present help. The Psalm 46, we note in the verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. As Christians, we are so thankful that God is our God. Where would we be, dear friends, without the Lord? We're so thankful that we are not left in our sins as the rest of the world, and the world that has no hope, that doesn't have comfort, that doesn't have the solace that we have. Now, let us just go in our mind's eye to the situation in which the Apostle Paul finds himself. And I believe that we'll be able to draw many encouragements from the life of Paul. Perhaps you are concerned this morning, how will I face another year? This past year has been so difficult for me as a Christian. How will I find strength for the year that is to come? I know not what will come. Well, consider with me for a moment the great Apostle Paul, what he faced in his life and what he even knows. That which is yet to come, he has been told by Agabus that he will meet his end not too far away. And we thank the Lord that he doesn't tell us everything. But think of the Apostle Paul, knowing that he will meet his end, and yet he has such confidence in God, such hope. Well, the situation is this. The Apostle Paul, who was formerly a Pharisee, as we have read, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a vehement persecutor of Christians, was one day stopped dead in his tracks on the way to Damascus to apprehend more Christians, having received papers from those in positions of authority to arrest more Christians. But the Lord, by sovereign grace, arrested that man in his tracks, and he was stopped there upon the road. And a great light came, and as we read in this chapter, not only was Paul struck down, but others with him. And since then, he has been transformed by the grace of God. And he has served the Lord since, establishing not only Christians in the faith, but churches. What a mighty work God has done through this man who was the greatest enemy of the church at one time, but now is going about preaching the gospel, establishing churches by God's help. And as a result of all of this, he has been greatly persecuted by the Jews, nearly killed on several occasions. One time at Lystra, he was stoned. They thought he was dead. They dragged him out the city and he returned back. Just recently, he was greatly persecuted in Jerusalem, attacked there, and he was then seized by the priests and the elders, and they brought him before the Jewish Sanhedrin. So what has happened since then? The Roman officials transported him by night to Caesarea, fearing that they may get trouble from the Jews. And at first, when he went there, he appeared before Felix, the procurator, and it was at that point that he appealed to Caesar. He appealed because he was a Roman citizen. And then before Festus, the one who succeeded him, then most recently now before King Agrippa, as we've read in this chapter. So that's a little bit of the background as to what has happened in his life, to condense it down to just a few minutes. Now, in this chapter, you would have noticed that Paul says several things. He brings his defense before King Agrippa, and he mentions, first of all, his strict Jewish upbringing as a Pharisee, and then his own mistreatment of Christians, the way he terribly treated them, like animals, and then his repentance toward God and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What mercy the Lord has shown to him, despite all that he did. Remember what he said elsewhere as he writes to Timothy, as he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then he says, "Of whom I am chief." He says, "Because I persecuted the church," but he says, "but I obtained mercy." So he first of all obtained mercy, but now he's obtained help as a Christian. And that's true for everybody that is a Christian. First of all, we've got to obtain mercy. And I would say to those who are unsaved this morning, don't seek to try to obtain help from God until you have obtained that mercy, until you have received pardon of your sins. That's where we begin the Christian life. We've got to seek the mercy of the Lord. Now, if we are the Lord's, there are a number of things we can draw from this particular text, or at least the beginning of verse 22, for our help this morning. And the first really is going to serve the main body of the sermon. You notice, first of all, the Lord's past help. "Having therefore obtained help of God." Obtained help of God. And then he says, "I continue to this day." So that will form the main part. So if we get almost all the way through and I haven't reached the other 2 points, don't panic. The other two will serve as sort of application to the word that I seek to bring this morning with the Lord's help. The second is the present labor of the Lord. "I continue unto this day." And the Christian So long as we are here in this body, we must remember that the Lord would have us a work to do. We are never to sit idle as Christians. We have a tremendous amount of work to do, but we can draw every bit of encouragement from God's word this morning. And then thirdly, courage. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. You see, the very fact that we go on is because we have confidence in the Lord. And if we have confidence in the Lord that he has helped us, he will help us all our journey through. And therefore we can take courage in the future. So first of all, notice the Lord's past help. Verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God. Now, you will know, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul's life, that this man experienced so many trials and tribulations in his life. It seems that he went through so much, but he also received so much blessing, didn't he? How he was able to accomplish so much through the Lord's help in his life. Think all that he did. I mean, the places he traveled, the many churches that he saw established, the great and the mighty work. You think of most of the epistles that we have in the New Testament. Of course, they're inspired by God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, but it was through the pen of this once Pharisee that God has accomplished so much. And yet, through that, it seems that as many, shall I say, ups and highs that he had, there were so many times of tribulation. Consider what he says in 2 Corinthians 11:23, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes save one. Five times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, those of us who think that the ministry is always rosy and that the Christian life is always rosy, we've got news for you. And for the Apostle Paul, despite all the ups and the positive things to draw from, he had many, many cares and afflictions. And so it will be in the Christian's life. It seems to me that when we study the lives of others and we read autobiographies and biographies of people, that they faced as much opposition and trouble in their lives as they did blessing. And I believe that the Lord makes it to be so. It must be that there is bitter amongst the sweet, because the sweet will not always be so sweet if it's always sweet than if it's always blessing. But in the face of it all, in the face of all these imprisonments, in the face of all that he had to endure, false brethren, beatings, nearly stoned to death a couple of times, being so ill-treated, he could cheerfully say, I obtained help from the Lord. And I wonder if you can, to some measure, this Lord's Day morning, say as you look back over this past year, I obtained help from the Lord. Well, that's a precious thing to be able to say, I have obtained help from the Lord, having therefore obtained help of God. And that's through all of his trials and through all of his afflictions, but it's also through those times of blessing when the Lord truly blessed him. You could say it was of the Lord. It was of God. Now, especially you young Christians, maybe you have not faced some of those difficulties that older Christians will. Maybe you've not had to lose a parent yet, or a child even, sadly, as some have, or a sibling. But you will be able to say, by the grace of God, I obtained help from the Lord. He will bring us through trials, and he will bring us through difficulties. He will bring us through these difficult times, but We must remember we are what we are by the grace of God, and we will continue by the grace of God. Now, there are those who sometimes they pretend they're Christians, and they'll come along to church, and they find life difficult. Well, it's often because they refuse to live by the rules and the commands of God's word. That's not obtaining help, just simply coming to church, is it? To obtain help from God is to be a prayerful person, to be a person that walks in the commandments of the Lord, and you find delight in God's word. You come along and you enjoy God. You enjoy walking with Him. You walk by faith. You're awake in the sermons. You're not asleep. You're somebody who is paying attention. And you will go through trials, and you will find that there is help from the Lord. There are many that find life difficult simply because they are not walking with God. They are not honoring God, and therefore they find coming to church difficult. They find keeping the commandments of God difficult because they are not delighting themselves in the Lord. My dear friend, the Bible tells us that to God's people, His commandments are not grievous. And so if you are simply finding these things difficult, you're either seriously backslidden, and that needs to change, or you will never know real help from the Lord. You will never know His help in terms of strengthening in your life, and you will never know help, especially in difficult times. It's important that we yield and we submit ourselves to God. This is what it is to walk by faith. It is to trust not in ourselves, but to trust in His word, in what His word commands us to do. That is what it is to walk by faith, not by sight, not by our own pleasings. Now, the Apostle Paul walked by faith, and he suffered because of righteousness. As I said, some people suffer in this world because they don't walk after righteousness. He wrote in 2 Timothy 3:11, about his difficulties to Timothy. He says, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." And then he added this, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so it is out of living godly in Christ Jesus that we will face trials and difficulties, but we ought to be able to say with Paul, "The Lord will deliver me." As he said there, "Out of all of these, the Lord delivered me out of them all." Isn't that wonderful? There at Lystra, when he was nearly stoned to death, and then you know what? He went to Derbe the next day, and then he went back to Lystra the next day. Why? To encourage the saints. Where did that come from? The Lord put it in his heart. You know, at no place here where Paul says here, "I've obtained help," there's no boasting. You notice Paul is not boasting in himself. He's not saying, you know, "I'm one of these people that I've been able to do these things because I'm one of those strong, stoic people. I'm just a strong character." Paul doesn't boast in himself. His boast is in the Lord. Now, some of us have faced some very difficult times this last year, not through any sin or chastisement coming from God, but how did we cope? Well, we must give God the glory. We must say, "I obtained help from the Lord." Have you, dear friend, obtained help? And this is the time to raise our Ebenezer and to give glory to God. So here Paul takes no credit for the fact that he hasn't fallen. Notice, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day." This was his humility. And you see, this is the Christian's witness, isn't it, to others? Why are you so different? You see, even in his testimony here, what a witness it is to Agrippa. Tremendous witness, isn't it? People will notice your life, friend. That's one of the greatest witness we can have as a church. It's not so much the preaching of the word, although that is effective, but you know, our lives are living sermons, aren't they? As the world watches, they see we're not just like the kinds of people in this world, Christians don't quit. And they don't quit because he that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. He that has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." And he says, "And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." And then he says this, but not boastfully, "But I labored more abundantly than they all." And then he says, "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And so he is able to say here that he obtained help from the Lord. Having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. This was the secret of his power. You know, Christians aren't just coasters, are they? We don't just coast along, but we go on in the strength of the Lord. He gives us every confidence. You know that well-known verse in the Old Testament, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Do you know something of that? Have you known something of that this past year? What is it to wait upon God? Well, it's to pray to God. See Paul and Silas praising God, praying to God there in the prison. See Paul many a time praying, not only for himself, but for others. Well, the word of God says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as on eagle's wings, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not faint." This is the word of the Lord, and Paul is living testimony to it. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul was afflicted with some bodily infirmity. And he prayed, didn't he, to the Lord, that the Lord might remove it from him. Well, the Lord said no. And the reason the Lord gave was that the power of Christ may rest upon Paul. He said, after he prayed, this is the Lord's answer, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then he therefore says, "Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's it, Christian. You know, being a strong spiritual person is not somehow being a strong character. Not at all. But it is leaning upon our beloved, our Lord Jesus. It is seeing ourselves to be weaker and weaker. It is being weak. "When I am weak," Paul says, "then I am strong." When we think we're strong, the Bible says, "Take heed. If any man thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall." If we think we're strong, take heed, because we're sure soon to fall. Pride goeth before destruction. That's the word of God. The more we grow in grace and in knowledge, the more the Lord will knock off some of those sharp edges from us and smooth them down and make us to realize that we can do nothing without him. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, "Without me ye can do nothing." The more we go on as the Lord's people, the closer we have a walk with him, the more we realize that we need him. But you know, the Lord, he is a very present help, but although he is a God at hand, as the Bible describes, he is not just somehow cold in his help toward us. Yes, he's a very present help, but he is as a father that pitieth us. He pities his children. He draws near to them. He feels in our afflictions. He sympathizes with us. He's very tender toward his children. He's very gracious to them. Think of how the Lord must have felt when Paul was nearly stoned to death at Lystra. Do you not think that the Lord, although the Lord helped him, the Lord was unfeeling toward him? And maybe you're going through and have gone through very difficult trials as a Christian. Remember, the Lord's not just one who says, "Well, get up and carry on." But the Lord sympathizes. He draws near and he helps. David in Psalm 139 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." God is a very present help. And he feels with a feeling of our infirmities. He's not a cold and distant helper. He's not alien to us. But he is as a father that pitieth his children. The word of God says, in our afflictions, he is afflicted. And that's a precious thing to us, isn't it? That when we are down and we're feeling very low, the Lord knows exactly what we're feeling. And that's a help, isn't it? In and of itself. To know that God knows our struggles. He knows our pains. He knows things that people don't understand. And when we shed a tear, as David said, our tears are in his book. Psalm 56, the verse 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings, thou puttest my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Be a child of God. Thy times are in his hands, and he knows every single one of your times. He knows your every need. Now the word here for help in the Greek it's the only time it's ever used in the New Testament. The English won't portray it that way. But the word here for help is the word epicurus. Epi, as you know, means over. Episcopus, an overseer. Epicurus, the one who goes before in our help. See, the Lord is not one that just simply pushes us into a trial, but he goes before us. There's a big difference, isn't there? He gives grace for the trial. He helps in the trial. Indeed, he has ordained the trial. Nothing happens without God's permitting it. He therefore is the one who is truly our helper, who is over all things, who's in all things. And not a hair of your head falls to the ground without your Father's will. That's the comfort we have in this world. He's obtained help. But you see, he first obtained mercy. And the wonderful thing is that, you see, God has the power, because not only when we receive mercy because of the Lord Jesus, but he has the power to help us. Unlike any others. Men fail and cease, don't they? The word of God says, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." The Lord has power to show mercy upon us and to do us good. And sometimes we may go through the darkest of trials and we think, "What is God doing?" But he's working all things together for good to them that love him, to them that are the called according to his purpose. He has the power because he's merciful. We've obtained mercy, and therefore, if we've obtained mercy, as Paul says, he persecuted the church, but he says, "But I obtained mercy." And because he obtains mercy, he will obtain help for all that is yet to come. What a comfort to us as God's people. And therefore, when others persecute us, remember what Paul says in Romans 12. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Do good to all men." The Lord will take care of things. You are his children. You be holy in this world. The Lord will help you. He'll give you every grace for every trial. He will help you through those difficult times. We often get so discouraged in this work in the ministry. As a minister, let me tell you, It can be a very discouraging work at times. And there are times when people who you think you could rely upon, you can't rely upon. But think of the Apostle Paul. Think of him. He had men like Demas. In Colossians 4:14, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." And then when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:10, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." We can be discouraged, all of us, but he obtained help. Help from the Lord. Read in that psalm, "My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." The Lord has been his help and his comfort. As the Lord draws near, he affords us his presence and his comfort. Now the Lord must have drawn so near to Paul as he went back to that city of Lystra where he had just been stoned the previous day. Why did he go back? Well, there was a man there that was crippled, never walked in his life. But all of a sudden, the Lord's power came and that man could walk for the very first time. He was an elderly man, never could walk. And he became a believer amongst the many there at Lystra. And Paul, having a pastor's heart, went back to strengthen the brethren. What an encouragement that is. You can read it all for yourself in Acts 14. We read in the verse 21, "And when they preached the gospel to that city that was Derbe and taught many, they returned unto Lystra the very next day, and then to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith." Well, he received help from the Lord. I don't know what the Lord would have you to do next year, but whatever it is, however insurmountable that task may be, if we seek him, he will give us help. He will give us strength. Whatever it is, whatever decisions we need to make, the Lord will come in for us. He loves to show himself as the almighty, omnipotent God who strengthens his people, as he did Paul here. This was his witness. And friends, this is our witness to this world. Not us, not unto us, but unto thee be praise, honor, and glory. Maybe we feel ourselves to be totally insufficient. And that's a good thing, because we are. Paul says elsewhere, "Our sufficiency is of the Lord." What are we? We are but weak vessels, earthen vessels. But we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel in these vessels, having obtained help of the Lord. Now, secondly, present labor for the Lord. He says, "I continue." You see the application? God says, "I am the Lord, I change not." And therefore we believe, as we embark upon the year 2019, leaving this year behind, forgetting the things that are past, pressing on, we can continue. Never take our eyes off him, lest we be like Peter, sinking in that sea. He learned very quickly not to take his eyes off his Lord. Never take your eyes off the Lord, the one who has gone before us, who has rent the veil through the veil of his own flesh and has gone into the presence of the Father. If he has done that which no man can do, ought we not to have every bit of confidence in him, our Lord Jesus, who has said, "Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age, even to the end of time. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." He will. He will continue to prove to be our ever-present help. The atheists for millennia have said, "The church will not exist. The church will not continue." But the church has continued. Because Christ is that ever-present help. In Psalm 46, you know that psalm. God is an ever-present help. And then we read as we move on in the psalm, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And that is the Lord Jesus, who is the water of life. And he makes us glad. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He that has suffered for us, gone in our stead, and died for us, will he not also freely give us all things through his Son? And we will continue, and we will press on. We are more than conquerors, dear friends, through Christ who has loved us. And who shall lay a charge against God's elect? For Christ has died. Christians, we are to draw every comfort from our Lord. If Paul the Apostle drew comfort and courage, so ought we. Now, Christians are not quitters, not because we have anything commendable in us, but we're not quitters because God has not quit on us. Remember what Peter said, we're kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter 1:5. Kept by the power of God through faith. That gift that he gives, which Paul says in Colossians 2:12, is the operation of God. Faith, the operation of God, is working. You know, the Bible says the devil's belief. What's the difference between belief and faith? I'll tell you what it is. Belief is mere man working, but faith is God working in man. Faith, the operation of God, kept by the power of God through faith. And if he has given us that, we will endure to the end. And the devil will do his best to accuse us of our sin and our shortcomings as Christians. He will do that. He will try to shake this church. He will try to shake you, and he'll say, look at you. You're a useless Christian. And you know what you must never do? You must never say, no, I'm a good Christian. No, I'm a strong Christian. When the devil accuses you of your sin, what must you do? You must agree with him. You must tell him, yes, it's so. I am a weak Christian. Turn his accusations into prayer to God. When he accuses you, pray to God. And tell him that Christ has died for your sins. You know, in the book of the Revelation, it says, of God's children, they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb. Every time Satan comes and accuses us of our sin, we say, yes, I'm guilty of that. I'll not deny it, but I'll plead the blood of my Savior. And the blood of my Savior will induce me as a Christian to live more godly, because the love of Christ is that which constrains me as a child of God. If he shed that blood for me, I'll seek with all the gospel graces God gives me to live for Christ. To live for the one that so signally loved me and gave himself for me. That's what I'll do. Turn Satan's accusations to prayer. You know, the Lord Jesus said this. If you don't believe what I'm saying, he said this. He said this to those that he sent out. So likewise, when you've done all those things which you are commanded to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. That's it. Yes, we've done, but we've not done as we ought. Don't deny the truth about your feeble heart. Just confess it to God, and he'll help you. He'll give you all the grace you need. Let Satan's fiery darts drive you to your knees to God in prayer, friends. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but he can no longer condemn us. He may accuse us, but he can no longer condemn us, for Christ has died. Secondly, resist him. Never allow sin and its temptation to overcome you. When you struggle to pray, confess it to God. Something enters in your mind as you're praying. Tell God that thing's entered into your mind. And tell him. You know it's a sin. Turn it into prayer. Turn everything to prayer. Everything that hinders. Read the Word of God. Paul says, I obtained help from the Lord. In what ways, as a Christian, this past year, have you obtained help from the Lord? Has it been something in the church? Has it been something of the ministry? Well, continue on in it. Have you obtained help from the reading of the Word? From the meditating of the Word? Continue on in it. Those are God's graces to you. Use the means of grace. I continue on, Paul says. And so must we. The world will do all that it can to tempt us from being here every Lord's Day, being here at our midweek meetings, prayer meetings. The world will do all that it can, but you continue on. Press on. Fight the good fight of faith, as Paul did, because it's God that works in you. And so courage, lastly. Take courage. If this is so, if God has helped you hitherto, he'll help you all your journey through. And what have we to fear? Paul had nothing to fear here. You've been helped by others. Continue to receive that help. Christians, iron sharpeneth iron. As older women are to teach and to instruct younger women, we read also there in 2 Timothy, older men, likewise, to help the younger, less mature men. Continue in these things. Don't be discouraged. Elihu says to Job in Job 32:7, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. I think Paul would be able to say every year, as days teach, this last year ought to have taught you something, and ought to have taught me something, that God doesn't change. We can always obtain help from him. The trouble is, so often we don't apply for it. We don't seek him for it. And what blessings we forfeit when we don't. Let us seek the Lord our help. And may our days continue to teach us that God is unchanging in all of his ways and is a very present help. Well, days should speak, multitude of years should teach wisdom. What have we learnt? What are we learning from the Lord? Will you ask him to help you this coming year? And those of you who know nothing of this, remember what Paul said to Timothy. Though he was a persecutor of the church, on his road to hell, he said, I am the chief of sinners. You may be one who's saying here this morning, I am the chief of sinners. Pastor Hetherington, you don't know the things about me. You don't know the hidden secrets of my heart. My friend, the Lord knew everything about Paul. But Paul said, I obtained mercy. And then when he obtained mercy, he could say, I obtained help. What a gracious God. Seek him for both. Because he has the power to give both. He has the power to bestow mercy. He says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And my dear friends, those who he shows mercy, he gives power. Yea, to the faint, to the weak, he gives strength. May God be with you this coming year. Amen.